9 o'clock, we'll call the meeting to order. I want to reach out to our Zoom attendees this morning, Region West, Region Henson, Region Ball, good morning to you. We miss you, wish you were here, but we understand. Good morning, Julia McDonald. You're muted. Are you just going to wait?
Good morning.
Is this thunderstorms in Destin?
Yeah.
We're on talk. Good. Good. Good morning, Dr. Capps.
Good morning, sir.
Glad to see you, sir. We're going to call the meeting to order. And normally for committee meetings, we do not do roll call, but because of the Zoom attendees, we understand it's the proper procedure. So I'm going to call on Secretary Brinkley to call roll.
Regent Bale,
present.
Regent Ball.
Present.
Secretary Brinkley is present. Regent Edmonds.
Present.
Chair Higgin.
Present.
Regent Henson.
Present.
Vice Chair McKinney. Vice Chair McKinney. Regent Milliken.
Present.
Regent Nichols. Regent Spiller.
Present.
Regent West.
Present.
Stand by 1 second.
They're not on. Okay.
Regent Chair Higgin, we have 9 regents present representing the quorum of the full board. That's not necessary for committee meeting.
Thank you very much, Regent Brinkley. We have a quorum and ready to conduct our committee business. Before we start, campus looks beautiful. It's springtime. I'm sorry I missed the blossoms, but wow.
Spectacular. We were out and about on Tuesday and Wednesday visiting with students on Centennial Mall, and they were appropriately enjoying hammocking, sunbathing, and all the other things while they were studying, and I think are very well ready for the end of the semester in about 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Just because I need to pick on her, I want to shout out Henson. Her background this morning, is that the Derby fireworks background, or what kind of background are we using this morning?
No, sir, that is actually there's one that made of the Sputnik light fixture that is hanging in the Kentucky Museum.
Okay.
And I believe that Clint Lewis made the photograph of the light fixture, and they made a Christmas ornament out of that light fixture, and I just happened to have it as a background instead of my messy office. I didn't want you all to see the stacks of paper on my credenza, so I was trying to hide it. So you can now have a picture of the Sputnik light fixture that's hanging in the Kentucky Museum.
All right. Well, we're ready to get started. We usually start with academic affairs, and so I turn the meeting over to Chair Bale.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have 6 action items to deal with today, and then we will have a presentation at the end of that. We have some students with us today, which is always special. In our reading materials, we had the information on each action item. I see Provost Stevens is with us, and if we could go through each one briefly with explanation and recommendation. Provost Stevens, would you like to say anything about action item A1?
I would like to refer a brief discussion to Kelly Coppinger. She's a professional in residence in Department of Art Design, and Larry Snyder, who's also here representing the college.
Good morning. The proposal we have is to create a certificate in digital advertising. It is currently a minor. It was mandated by the PEEP to revise this particular program. 4 years ago, we moved from the School of Media into the Department of Communication, And as a result, a lot of the courses have changed, a lot of the content has changed, and so it is a perfect time to revise this list. It also realigns the courses according to what's going on in the industry. So I think I kind of gave you the overview of that. It's more correction. The students are having a hard time finding the courses because of the changes. So it's a lot of cleaning up and a lot of refocus. Does anybody have any questions?
Any questions? If not, I'll ask for a motion.
So move.
Motion to approve action item AA1. Regent Brinkley, do I hear a second?
Second.
Second from Regent Spiller. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Motion passes. We'll move to action item AA2. Approval of Strategic Communication Undergraduate Certificate.
Okay, this one will be presented by Ken Payne. He's an associate professor in communication in Larry's lab. Ken?
At the last possible second, I remembered to unmute myself. Sorry. Yes, much like Kelly said, this is a product of two units coming together to make something I think is very special and will be very popular, not only on campus, but off campus. As we learn from the pandemic, one thing we need to really focus on, I think, across the board is strategic communication. I mean, even the CDC says that the pandemic was more of a communication issue than a health issue. So I think this certificate coming together with the skills, marketable skills of the public relations program, and then the theory, the research, the why of the communications department really gives us a great opportunity to put a certificate together that I think will be very popular on campus as students, as more certificates roll out and they're able to stack these certificates into these marketable skills. I think it'll be very popular, especially when you look at the economy of Kentucky. 99% of our businesses are small businesses. I think a lot of small businesses could really find some value in being able to bring to their employees a little bit more of strategic communication. So it really is a blend of the skills based, how to write, how to do press releases, how to work with the media, along with things like the persuasive piece of how to affect some sort of behavioral change in a target market, get more people to buy the product, get more people to take a vaccination. So I think it'll be very popular both on campus and off campus. And again, very proud of the fact that this is a collaborative certificate that was put together by a brand new unit that was created. So I'm open to any questions you may have.
Anyone have any questions?
I have one, and this nothing against the program whatsoever. I'm just trying to understand some of the new forms. It's been a minute since I was doing on the curriculum committee and doing some of these curriculum workflow forms. And I noticed in the description it says this certificate is interdisciplinary by design and available to WKU students. But then when I go into the paperwork, it says, will this program be interdisciplinary, like a yes or no checkbox, and it says no. And I just wonder, is that addressing two different things, or, and I don't understand the form, or is that just a mistake?
Yeah, I would defer that question to Merrill Price, who may be able to better answer that.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me at all if I'd managed to check the wrong box. So that is probably the simplest solution. So Occam's razor-wise, let's say that was me checking the wrong book.
Okay, because the way I read it, it looked like it was an interdisciplinary program, but then to see that, you know, running into that form, I was confused.
Yes, it really is. I apologize.
And I apologize. I didn't mean to put Merrill on the box. I just didn't check the box, so I wasn't sure why it was that way. So
we like simple explanations.
If you'd seen the amount of paperwork that goes into one of these, you would not be at all surprised.
It is staggering, yes.
I do understand that. So, just again, thank you.
Yeah.
Right. Any other questions, comments? President Cavone?
As a proud graduate of the Department of Communication, not plural, I noticed that this degree is strategic communications, plural. Would you all, I'm certain there were conversations about that, but I would love for you to walk us through that decision tree and why we settled on this versus something else.
Sure, be glad to. The way we internally have defined communication and communications, communications with the plural is the products that are produced as a result of communication. So the press release, the plan, the background or fact sheet, the working with media, the actual application of communication with an audience. The way the courses fell out as we, as a committee, put this together tended to lean more toward the application rather than the theory, rather than the research. So as a result, we picked communication, communications, I get it myself. But Dr. Cavone, you're absolutely right. I mean, there was a robust internal discussion about whether we should go with one or the other. And it fell out that we decided to go with communications, plural.
Very good.
It's one of the intricacies of the discipline and field of study, and I was certain that they had that conversation, but just wanted to double check and illuminate that for everyone.
Thank you. Good. Any other comments, questions? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
And motion by Regent Milliken. Here a second.
Second.
Second by Regent Brinkley. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Motion passes. Action item AA3 deals with eSports. And Provost Stevens, who is
Dixie Forsythe will present. She's an assistant professor in the School of Kinesiology, Recreation, and Sport.
Hello, good morning. Can you all hear me? I can't get my video started for some reason. It says the host has stopped me. But I am here.
I can fix that.
Thank you all for your time this morning. We are really excited about this interdisciplinary certificate, undergraduate certificate, between the Sport Management Program and the School of Kinesiology, Recreation, and Sport in the College of Health and Human Services and the Department of Marketing in Gordon Ford College of Business. It's a 15-hour certificate with courses in sport management and in marketing. And we are really excited about this opportunity to give our students a chance at an innovative certificate that will position them well in this exploding market of eSports. Very popular courses that are already offered in the program. We did create a new course, SPM. Oh, here we go. I can start my video now. Hello. Sorry about that. We did create a new course, SPM 320, which is eSports Management, for the certificate that has already been approved and is on the books. And it is already has a lot of students enrolled in the course, which tells us this will be of interest to students across campus. It pairs nicely, or I guess collaborates nicely, with a certificate that was approved a year or so ago in game design. Very different certificate, but I think students will have an interest, could have an interest in both of those certificates. And I talked for a really long time about this, but I'd be happy to answer any questions. Dr. Patricia Todd, who is also a co-coordinator on the certificate, is here as well, and so she could help answer any questions as well.
I've got a question. It's just more of a clarification on our other action items. Under budgetary implications, it's typical that if there are no additional budget resources, it will say no additional budget resources requested. In this description under budgetary implications, it says it can be staffed with existing faculty, and faculty exists to support. There is no clarification as to whether or not this will take additional budget resources. And I just need some clarification on that.
Yes, at this time, we don't anticipate any budget needs for this program. We do have faculty to teach all of the courses. And all of the courses except the SPM 320 were already offered in both of the programs. Our sport management program is exploding, I guess you could say. So additionally, we in the future hope to get more faculty for our program. But at this time, we actually are hiring in a new faculty member. And so we don't anticipate any budgetary needs at this time. We do hope the program grows, and if it does grow, the certificate and our program, we would hope for additional faculty. But at this time, there are no budgetary needs.
Thank you.
President Kabani?
To Professor Todd and Professor Forsyth, let me congratulate you and congratulate the deans. When we began the comprehensive academic program evaluation, the outcome of that process was making difficult choices about what we would stop doing so we could make interesting choices about what we would begin doing. And I want to say that this is exactly what we had in mind, a new degree program that crosses two colleges, that appeals to a new generation of students and their interests, and builds off of a work that we had already begun, certainly on the extracurricular side. Professor Todd is the faculty advisor of our esports teams. We have three different teams, multiple teams, three different games that we play across the country, and we're continuing to grow that with 36 scholarship players, if my count is correct, and three coaches, and are proud that we were the first varsity esports program in the Commonwealth, and we continue to grow that as well. So a good example of why we did what we did 4 years ago.
And for some of our newer board members who weren't here pre-pandemic, I know it was a real eye-opening meeting when we had some of the esports team members here, and it was the first time I realized what a big deal this really is, and how important it was for the relationships with these students. It really created a new fraternity of students, which spoke to enrollment, retention, and pretty fascinating, good stuff for the university. So, yes, thanks to everyone who has forwarded that effort. Any other comments or questions? If not, I'll call for a motion.
So moved.
Motion from Regent Brinkley.
Second.
Second from Regent Milliken. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Motion passes. Brings us to our last certificate request, AA4, for gifted and talented graduate certificate.
For this one, Corinne Murphy, Dean of the College of Education and Behavioral Sciences, is here to discuss.
Good morning, everyone. Happy to discuss on behalf of Dr. Zemanski and Roberts. There are our gifted and talented faculty members. They're currently with their own home department, working through additional entrepreneurial ways that we can address education and educational opportunities for our region. This program is one example. This is really an opportunity for our students who are already in these courses. These courses average about 20 students per section to get credit, academic credentials in the form of a certificate program. So these courses already lead to an endorsement at the state level for our teachers. But it also, as a certificate, allows other disciplines to access this group of courses and this content to better serve their constituents who are gifted and talented and many may even be on the esports team. But anyway, so there's a variety of areas of interest for this particular program, and we're also excited that this aligns with the announcement yesterday on the Border State Educator Discount, which allows our licensed teachers in our border states to access our graduate programs, and many of them are specifically interested in gifted and talented as we are a regional leader in the program. So that's the background on the certificate, and I'm happy to answer any questions that that may come about.
Dr. Murphy-Crinn, it's the same question I really had for AA3. The certificate utilizes current faculty and programming, but it does not state whether there are any additional budget resources requested. Is that does it require any additional resources, even though you're using its existing faculty?
Not at this time. As if the program were to grow substantially, we would leverage our current resources in off semesters in a way that would match what educators need. Sometimes they need summer courses, sometimes they need winter-end courses, and this would not necessarily affect full-time loads for the full-time faculty. So there are ways in which we can manage the resources to continue to support this program for a very long time without additional resources.
Perfect. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Comments? Questions?
I would just like to comment that I think the gifted and talented programs, plural, at Western are outstanding programs, along with many others. I don't mean to exclude anything else, but this is something that the community at large is very familiar with and gives high marks and is always supportive of it. And I think this is something we should foster any way we can.
Very good. I agree. I think Western has a niche there, and just can't help but mention Julia Roberts' efforts over the last many decades, and gifted and talented, so this should fit nicely.
Well, and if I could add to that, this program is one that is an exemplar on contracting. So we've been able to contract with a number of districts and agencies to offer this program in a cohort model that allows us to really access those who need it and can use it within their own workplaces. So it's definitely a lot of high marks, and I love bragging on this one.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you. Call for a motion.
Move to approve.
Regent.
Second.
Second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, like sign. Motion passes. I think those are four excellent certificate programs, and they certainly meet the spirit of CAPE, as President Caboni mentioned, and position our university well going forward in all these areas. Our next action item, Provost Stevens, concerns a couple of emeriti recommendations.
Yes, this morning we have two. First is Dr. Larry Bird, who joined WKU in 1969 as an assistant professor of chemistry, and he fully retired in December of 2020 with over 50 years of total service to the university. His most impactful service accomplishments were really involve Dr. Bird's development and directing the SPAN dual credit chemistry program for over 30 years. This is a program that served the region. They used it to train teachers to be able to deliver the dual credit courses at a relatively high standard, and we typically have 20 schools each year participating, with hundreds of students annually benefiting from those school credit courses. He also taught a variety of courses in general chemistry and biochemistry during his time at WKU. He has co-written textbooks, instructor's guides, and laboratory manuals primarily focused on organic, general, and biochemistry courses for the health professions. In recognition of these efforts, we received the Audubon College Faculty Team Award for their study. And second, nominee recommendations. Mr. Jonathan Jeffries, who was a professor in Library Special Collections. Professor Jeffrey joined WKU in 1990 as a Special Collections Librarian. He became the Manuscripts and Folk Life Archives Coordinator in 2007, and in 2014 assumed the responsibilities of department head. During his tenure, Professor Jeffrey facilitated making thousands of collection findings available online in top scholar communities' institutional repository. Additional digitization projects have made other materials such as audio interviews, local history publications, genealogical resources, and the Kentucky Library's large and federal collection accessible online. Professor Jeffrey supported the curricula by providing information literacy classes, practicums, and independent study opportunities for multiple departments on campus. He served as an ambassador of public history for the Bowling Green community in London. He provided more than 1,700 presentations to groups large and small and ranged across subjects as diverse as historic architectural issues, grave stones, burial customs, notorious crimes that people were even local stock properties compared to. Those are our two.
All right. Any questions or comments? I will say, as having chaired this committee for much of the last 8 years, this is one of my favorite actions that we get to take. And when you look at Western Kentucky University and what separates it from many other universities, both in our state and outside, it's the faculty and the relationships that they have with our students. And this would be over 80 years of service between these two to our university, and I can only imagine all the important personal relationships that they've had with students. And that really gives me cold chills when I think about it. And I feel like this recognition doesn't last long enough, or we can't give it really the attention that it deserves. But these two certainly will be great additions to our emeriti faculty. So with that, I will call for a motion. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second from Regent Brinkley. And all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Our last action item concerns the Department of Philosophy and Religion. And this is a topic that has come before the board, I think has been in the works for a while, but Provost Stevens, would you like to?
Yes, Larry Snyder, Dean of Potter College, will present.
Good morning. I seem to be prevented from, there we go. Okay, I'm on. Thank you all very much. I appreciate your time. Department of Philosophy and Religion dates back to 1966. It was first formed as the Department of Philosophy. 1 year later, it became the Department of Philosophy and Religion following a Danforth grant that provided funding for some religious studies courses. And so the department's had a long and very distinguished career with students and faculty over the past 50, almost 60 years. 5 years ago, our then department head, Eric Payne Selvo, departed to take a deanship in Indiana. And we were in one of what has now become the annual cycle of budget reduction targets. And we were forced to surrender that that line, that department head line, as part of the cuts. Since that time, we have had a series of interim department heads for 1, 2, 3, 4. This is the fourth year of interim department heads. Last year, the office associate from that department retired, and we were forced to surrender that line. And so this year, the department is going about an office associate. We have looked for ways to merge the department with other units, and in November the faculty met and decided unanimously, which incidentally may be the first time in 60 years that department was unanimous on anything, but they agreed to split the department, with the Faculty of Religious Studies going to the History Department, the Faculty in Philosophy going to Political Science. Both History and Political Science then were contacted, met, agreed to receive those two faculties, And effective July 1, the plan is for those departments to receive the faculties in religious studies and philosophy, and the current department will cease to exist. This has been a cost-saving measure. There will not be any additional cost savings immediately, except that we will not be searching for a new department head or an office associate in the future. So we have essentially already absorbed the cost savings that there is there. The programs will continue to be offered. We have majors in religion, philosophy, and Asian religions and cultures. We have about, I didn't check the numbers today, but we have about 75 students in those three programs together. Those programs will continue in their new home. They will simply not be in their own department. I will say that this has been a very difficult process and decision for me. One of my last acts as dean is going to be to dissolve my home department. And this is a very difficult thing for me to do and for the faculty, but given the current situation, this seems to be the best course of action. I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Questions, comments? Well, in a world where unanimity is a rare thing, I'm glad to know that you all were able to reach that consensus then. So I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
This is just committee members right now, Garrett. So need one from a committee member. Okay. Motion from Regent Spiller.
Second.
Second from Regent Brinkley. Any further discussion, comments? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Motion passes. Happy to see Regent Nichols has joined us just in time for a treat. And that involves having some students with us today, George, who are going to give a presentation in their film studies program. We have four Kentuckians. Kentucky students from all over the state, and Freddie Straub is the producer, and he will lead us off. The other students are Caleb Gillian, who is the director, Addison Bednar, production designer, and Carter Ford, who is the director of photography. So with that, Freddie, I will turn it over to you.
Awesome. Well, hi, everyone. I'm Freddie Straub. As he said, this is Addison Bednar, Carter Ford, and Caleb Gillian, and we had the pleasure of creating the film called Cactus. It's a wonderful little film that we made with WKU Film, and it was actually one of over 40 films that we produced this year alone. Everything that we produced this semester is actually going to be screened this month up at the Colonnades for everyone to come see, including this film that we're about to show you here. But really, I'm just really glad because we get to tell you a little bit about what the film department does and how these films come to light. So you have our team here. We get to pitch our films to our professors, get approval, get feedback and things, but then we're set off on our own to go create. And I'm going to have Addison actually talk you through a little bit about how the pre-production process works, especially for this film.
Yeah, so a lot of our ideas come from our screenwriting class that we have to take. So we'll pitch about three ideas to our whole class. Whatever everybody likes the most and what the director wants to do, then we'll decide, okay, that's the script we're going to write. So for this film, it was 6 minutes. So that's about six pages of script that Caleb had to write. After he writes that, he gets the team together, and then we start to conceptualize what it'll look like, what it'll feel like. My job specifically is what it'll look like and how it'll feel hand in hand with Carter. So for me, I start at the color palette. The color palette will designate exactly how the film feels. From a horror to a comedy, it'll change even from scene to scene. So we started off with this conceptual design for our lovely Cactus Man. I sent this little sketch to Caleb. He told me what he liked, what he wanted to change, and then we grow from there. So even before we're on set, we are forming ideas, communicating. It's all about collaboration, especially in the early processes of this. So after we have our designs conceptualized, we get to have some fun on set when everything comes together. So I handle everything from hair, makeup, wardrobe, props, set deck. Basically anything that you see in the frame is purposely there for you to see. So there's some Easter eggs, including our extra extra. Keep an eye out for him.
And then, yeah, if Carter, you'd like to talk a little bit about how the set process works.
Yeah, absolutely. So after we are finished getting ready and spending a lot of late nights and getting stuff done, I would wake up super early in the morning and get to head to set. A typical set day, you know, you'd get there to mass media to get your equipment and stuff like that. Super early, like 6 o'clock, just to be on set by 7. And then spend all day there, about 12 hours plus an hour lunch. And then go home that night and get a little bit of sleep before waking up and doing the whole thing all over again. We have a couple different things in place to help our students be able to go through this. So one of the things is we have like a union and union reps that we have, so that way we're getting all the lunch breaks that we need to get, and we're making sure that no one is doing anything outside of their job, so that way everyone stays safe, things like that. That way sets are safe for everyone and all that. So you can see in these pictures us all running around doing our jobs. You'll see we have a couple different things that we use on set. The camera that we use is a Red camera, one of the industry standards, one of the many. it shoots in 5K, so super, super cool, and we love being able to use it. The other things that we get to use are our lighting kits and our stuff like that, so you can see a couple of our lights right there up on stands. Yeah, so our whole lighting setup that we get to use as a part of being enrolled here at Western. There's all kinds of equipment that we have access to and that we get to take out onto our sets. So that's a whole lot of fun. Yeah.
And before we show you a little sneak peek of the film, I just want to give you a little bit of information about it. It's a wonderful romantic comedy that takes place on Valentine's Day, and it follows Brian. He's sort of a shy and introverted person, trying to work up the courage to ask out his office crush, Kristen. However, things are a little complicated because he has a giant imaginary cactus following him around telling him what to do. So hilarity ensues. And with a special cameo from President Gaboni, in the end he learns, and then we'll pull that up in just a second, and then in the end he learns not only to believe in himself, but he also makes a new friend along the way. So, without a further ado, I'm so excited to show you the first trailer for Cactus.
Hang on. Let's do this. That is not true. I just have a last slide. It's not a slide. Hang on a minute.
You keep talking.
The WKU Film Department, you know, we really appreciate, you know, being invited here today. WKU Film, we really strive to not only work with the community. We got a lot of things donated for this film. The t-shirts you saw us wear in those photos, those were donated by Design Tees downtown. We got our lunches. A lot of our sets and props were donated as well. And we're incredibly thankful that Donald Smith and the foundation helped us with our funding, as well as the alumni association. They allowed us to shoot in their offices. So really, this is a WKU film, probably the most WKU of the WKU films that I've gotten to make. And especially because President Capote's in it. And did you have a question?
I just wanted to make a comment, now that it seems like we're ready, I'll hold that until the after the screening of the screening.
Oh, awesome. And without further ado, the first trailer of Cactus.
She wants you to ask her about that's totally different. Okay, you gotta jump out there, make the first move.
My God, you're right.
Like, what do you mean? God's got me to do this.
So, are you playing after work?
Nothing really. What about you?
I'm not doing anything either.
Water. There's no point in asking her anymore because it's over, alright?
You understand what I'm saying?
You can't do anything to bring down right now. I don't have hands.
And yeah, that's their first little peek at Cactus. And if you'd like to see the full film, it'll be screening on April 24th up at the Colonnades.
Yeah. But if I could, I had the great privilege of going to watch the cast and crew in action. And I will tell you, if you've ever been on a movie set, the precision that a professional set uses to make sure that they're spending and investing their time wisely, it's awe-inspiring. And I will tell you, I was so impressed by these young people, the way in which they had put together a professional set. And they talk about union roles, craft services. It was as if I walked onto a professional set. So I'm proud of the work that they've done, and also proud of our School of Media. You all recall, one of the reasons we changed the name of that school was to better represent the work of the faculty and our students. And this is an example of that breadth of experience that our young people have. And so just really proud of the program. It's going to continue to grow, and the final products are outstanding as well.
Thank you so much. Well, with that, if nobody has any questions for us, I just want to say thank you all so much, and have a wonderful day.
Let's give everybody a chance to ask questions.
I was curious. What's the runtime of this?
So the current runtime, I believe we got it down to, do you remember?
About 8 minutes,
roughly. So we do 3 films in the new BFA program. You're guaranteed 3 films from the time you enter to the time you graduate. So your very first film, your P1, as we call it, that's roughly it's about a 3-page script, so it should be about 3 to 5 minutes. Then the second one is a 6-page script, so about 6 to 8. And then all of us are currently prepping to pitch our thesis films, which are going to be about 12 to 15 minutes long.
So when you talked about all the help that you had, various people putting together things for you, what kind of budget did you actually get to spend to do this?
All of these projects are, it's the students who raise the funding for them themselves. Like I said, the College Heights Foundation helped us out and donated a little bit. But a lot of it is just from friends and family, local businesses, and donations, and again, just getting things donated. So I believe our total budget for this was probably about $1,200 for this one, but they can range anywhere from as low as, $400 to $500, all the way up to, we've had some that were about $2,000 to $3,000 this semester. But as we're approaching our thesis films, we're hoping to spend upwards of $3,000 to $5,000 on some of the films.
Good. Any other comments or questions? I can't help but be struck, again, it's kind of like the faculty and programs like this in a world where bricks and mortar universities are having to make a case for ourselves and why it's important. And obviously, you're not going to get and experience anything like this unless you're at a good bricks and mortar university car. So kudos to all of you all, and lovely to think of you all wandering about the campus. Scott Applewhite, who got one of our Distinguished Alumni Awards recently, those who were watching any of the happenings in Washington, D.C. recently saw him wandering about the Capitol, taking his photo shoots, and I wonder where what you're going to be directing someday. Could be something. So, anyway, thank you all for coming, and that concludes our academic committee agenda. Mr.
Thank
Chair.
You all.
Thank you all. Very good. Well, that concludes academic affairs. Regent Nichols has joined us for purposes of our official record. We next move to